Use number 2336, Community Power Group LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek Hundred, Sussex County, containing 25.012 acres more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Woodland Ferry Road, which is Sussex County Route 78, which is 0.15 mile east of the intersection of Woodland Ferry Road, which is Sussex County Route 78, and Bethel Road, which is Sussex County Route 493, and on the east side of Bethel Road.
Hey, Walt, knock it off. We're having a meeting here. Get out.
That's the other real
estate. Get out of here. Yeah. Constable, take care of him.
The 911 address is not available and the tax parcel ID is District 232, Map 5, Parcel 11.03, and staff would note it's a portion of that parcel. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of the deed for the property and a copy of the Del Dot service level evaluation response, and I would note we have received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm with Community Power Group.
Okay.
Are you ready for me to talk?
We are. It's your,
Give us your name.
Tell us who you are, and you may have the floor.
You heard what our
good director read.
And we trust you'll do it quickly.
Yeah. Well, so thank you, Chairman, Commissioner, staff. I understand that you have looked at solar projects in the past, so I will not labor you through the solar farm details. But what I will do is highlight a little bit about the project, a little bit about what we do differently, a little bit about the outreach we did, and some changes we made associated with that. So kind of some very specific comments as it relates to community solar farms. We put together a presentation. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. If you have any questions, we can address that afterwards.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep.
Great. Slide number after this one. Two. One.
Oh,
do I have a clicker?
Yep.
Oh boy. Okay. Oh, there we go. That's easy. We've been around for a while, 2010. We have operations Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, New York, Illinois, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Colorado. We are community solar experts. We are headquartered in Maryland, so not far. We drive by here on a fairly regular basis. We emphasize, as a company, using local labor on all our projects. The other thing we do really focus on domestic equipment, pollinator-friendly ground covers, and game fences. I'll talk a little bit more about the game fence a little bit later and what a difference we think it makes for community solar farms. This particular project, I hope y'all know where it is at this point. It was part of the application. I won't spend much time on this at all. It's a 3-megawatt community solar project, and we'll talk about community solar in a minute. The Delaware DOT review is complete, it's not mentioned anywhere else, but it did say that there would be diminutive impacts on local traffic. This is the site where it's located. We did make some recent edits, I believe should be in your plans. All along this corridor right here, we put double layers of buffer there. We reached out, and we also extended this line over here, and we also extended it over here. Both the owner of the land, who lives right in the nearby area, as well as ourselves, fielded a couple calls with neighbors, as well as did a reach out. There were some neighbors here to the north where we didn't have landscaping because there was a pretty robust buffer there already. They expressed concern that at some point in the future, this landowner might go to develop it. We heard that, addressed some of their other questions, and added some landscape there. There was another landowner here to the north across the street. It's about a little over three football fields away, but their porch does face this area. They like to sit there. Our landowner was really stressed to us that they wanted us to pull off of this land to keep that a nice big open area for them, as well as add additional kind of screening to protect that view long term. Zoning, your staff went through all this, so again, I won't belabor it, but we do meet or exceed all your zoning requirements as far as buffer, land, percent usage, land requirement in the base, and everything like that. That'll be in your packets. We did talk about the landscape plan real quick. We have a blend of deciduous as well as evergreen trees, so that it does provide variety, not just a stapled kind of landscape buffer zone. We are committing to using polycrystalline panels, not thin film panels. Thin film are the ones that do have cadmium in them. You hear kind of some of the bad rep about cadmium panels and what that can or can't do. Polycrystalline has no adverse chemicals in them whatsoever. These are going to be single access trackers, so they'll be in the morning facing, I guess, east, and then go west. I could be way off on that one, huh? All right, we won't talk about that. But they're going to be somewhere in facing east in the morning and very slowly slowly move to face west. The other component of this, we did submit glare studies to ensure that the roads and homes do not have any glare. Used FAA-oriented software consulting firm to get that done. Also address the noise. People talk about sometimes solar having noise. Fact is, they have less noise than the telephone pole and that little, you know, the can that sits on the telephone pole when you're walking underneath the wires. That has a higher buzz than the actual solar farm and equipment does. So the nearest building to any place that makes noise is 520 feet away. So there will be no audible noise whatsoever near anybody's dwelling. Again, we use pollinator-friendly ground cover. Most people have no idea when I say game fence what that really means. And so this is a game fence where you have the wooden poles and the you know, the wired fence in front of it. It makes a huge difference in how these things are presented to the public. If you drive down the road and you see a chain link fence, you're, you know, it's industrial. You go down the road, you see the wood pole with the metal fence, or, you know, with this game fencing, it just makes it much more of a agricultural oriented activity and blends it right in. So it is something we do, and we get a lot of positive feedback from other communities about that. Okay. Decommissioning, I believe we've submitted our decommissioning plan to you so that there'll be a bond in place. You know, salvage cost tends to be more than the actual equipment itself, but yet still we have a financial surety there. And then, you know, we also have insurance in the event of really bad hailstorm or something like that, even though these panels do go up to, you know, 3-inch hail that they're protected against. In the event of bankruptcy, the solar assets tend to be the most valuable component of it because all it needs is sun to actually generate revenue. Community solar to be a community solar farm, which is fairly new to Delaware. You may have seen one or two, but you haven't really had them in the past. So this energy, we have a meter on it. It will spin backwards. The solar farm will get a giant negative bill. Subscribers will subscribe to the farm and say, you know, your bill is $300 a month. You subscribe and you say, I want $300 worth of credits. We get your meter number. We allocate those credits to you, and you may pay a 10, 20% discount on that. And that's how you get a 10, 20% discount on your electric bill and are able to claim that you are using all renewable energy, right? That is how this farm will operate. That is what this is. And this is just, we did receive one or two questions from neighbors about valuation, so we figured we'd address that real quick. This is an area where there was no solar farm. Then a solar farm came in, 134 acres worth of solar. The neighbors were right here, you know, a neighborhood right here. There was a new home put right here. I can show you the next slide. This is before the farm went in, and this is after, where somebody within 150 foot put a house with a pool. Kron-Resnick did a study on this, and they showed that there was no negligible impact on valuation. But more importantly, anybody who has any questions, the best thing to do is go to Zillow. Because if you go to Zillow, you can find a solar farm, you can look at the historical prices, you can look at the homes close to the farm, far away from the farm, and you will see unequivocally that solar farms do not impact the value of your home. And that's it. Was that good? All right? I was quick, not too fast. Okay, good job.
Great. All right, well, if you'll stand by here. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Wingate.
You answered the questions I had. Thank you. Good presentation.
You got mine, too.
Good.
And you even taught me a few things to ask the next applicant.
Great.
No, I know more about community solar than any single female in Delaware should. My husband's an expert in these things. So I hear it all the time.
Nice. Hopefully good.
Good job.
What do you think about putting sheep in there to eat the grass?
Yeah.
That's a great question. So we do that in Connecticut, and we'll be doing that on a site in New York. We ask that it does not become a part of the special use permit, because who knows what the accessibility of sheep farmers are going to be 15, 20 years from today. But we think it's a great local viable option, and we are rolling it out where there are sheep, grazers nearby that have the capacity to move it around. And we do all the, we actually consult with other projects about how to develop that plan and what it looks like. So we think it's a great idea.
Thanks.
No questions.
Okay. Staff?
No, for me, next.
Counselor?
Just one for me. First of all, that was a good presentation. I have a question for you, not so much for your application, because what we're looking to do is we're starting to see more and more of these, and we're thinking about amending our code to just address them so that they're all uniformly dealt with. I don't know if you were here earlier, we had one that was approved, and there's a whole bunch of conditions, and if yours gets approved, it'll have probably similar conditions in it, and it just makes sense to put them in code. One of the things that you brought up that really nobody else had was the decommissioning plan, and that's something that we're going to probably be looking at comprehensively. I want to look into it more from what you submitted, but is that a term of art in the industry? I mean, if
absolutely, okay. It is a term of art in the industry to have a decommissioning plan. The plan that we have is, I would like to think, best in class, been approved in by Virginia as far as their decommissioning standards, because they're going through a similar dynamic that you are here in Delaware. We use it in New York, we use it in Illinois, and in Maryland. We actually have in all our leases standard that a decommissioning plan, if not required by you, is something that we give to the landowner to ensure that it's there on day one. So happy to work with you. You have ours to look at.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because
right, the bond.
The bond is a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. We always sort of talked about, you know, what happens at the end of the life of the solar farm, but I don't know that we ever had the right term for it. So
yeah,
it's good to have that, and then good to see one that obviously is.
And you should absolutely do it.
Yeah.
It's nice that you don't have the cadmium.
Yes. You should outlaw that. You should ban those two, even though they are domestic.
That's all my questions, Mr.
All right. Thank you. All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2336, Community Power Group LLC?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Glenn Jones. I'm the landowner. And I just wanted to, there were a few points that I went through making the decision for this. My family started farming here in Laurel and Bethel area since like the 1950s. And over the years, we created a lot of jobs for a lot of local people in the area, and have been glad to have them help us, and been glad to help them. We've got a fruit stand just down the road from this that we have on a honor system. We sell a lot of tomatoes, melons, sweet corn, pumpkins, and more, and that kind of stuff, and to serve the community. And so we took a small part of our operation to provide us with some diversification, which is important in any operation to help with the risk of farming. So this property was selected for more than one reason. Its alignment is necessary for the connection to the power grid, for why we put it where we did. There may have been another location or two that would work for that, but we thought it would be less accepted by the community and not as good a spot as this. The farm's on the lower end of the production scale for us due to the low percentage of irrigated land that it's using. And it has natural buffers around it that put the plan calls for, and then we've added buffers where they were needed to strengthen it. Now, so I feel the impact is minimal to the neighborhood. It does not create any traffic, any odors, or it doesn't create any noise. And I feel it's good for the community and for our farming operation. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2336?
Did you get elected the speaker for the group?
Yes, I hate public speaking. It's my biggest fear ever. But my parents couldn't be here tonight.
Nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, I know. I just hate it.
We're just sitting around.
Okay. I'm Chastity Talbert. I'm here on behalf of myself and my parents who live in the area and some other community members. Not sure how this works. My mom did send me with like a petition that she has. I don't know if that's...
You can submit that to Mr.
Okay. I'd have to read some of her notes first. So I live, on Jade Run Drive. So there's a business, my dad's business, and he owns a house right there. They bought that back in 2015.
Two seconds. I'll just
call. Oh, you're fine. Do you need the street address?
No, he's got it.
Okay.
He's on it. It'll go flying here. There you go. There you go.
So it's going to be literally, I'm going to look out my bedroom window and that's what I'm going to see. And his business is right next, you know, to it. So his worries are if for some reason the day comes and he ever needs to sell his business, if that's an issue or anything like that. And they also live on Bethel Road, 8185 Bethel Road. So when they're sitting outside, they're going to have a direct impact to that as well. Their, you know, biggest is, I guess, not having enough information. I heard what the gentleman said about not having effects to humans, and the sheep are an issue, though. Like, I really don't think I would want sheep next to my house. My dog definitely wouldn't like that. I know that they think that the, I call it a chicken wire fence, I don't know, we're afraid that's not very nice looking. And I did not hear of like who takes control of like keeping the grass cut.
So if it gets approved, there would be conditions of approval on it, and they would be required to maintain.
Okay. And I think they're
get violated.
Their biggest, I think the community's biggest concern is he has so much other farmland, and they feel like he's sticking it right in the middle of all the residential area. He has farmland all down Snake Road and even in Bethel, where it wouldn't be as visual. I mean, we live in a beautiful town, very, you know, ag friendly, and we thrive on that. I mean, my dad puts up Valley Irrigations, so that's what he does. But that's our biggest concern too, is could he find somewhere else to possibly set it? We're just trying to keep our little piece of area nice.
Okay.
So, but that's all I have to say.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
If it's any consolation to you, the last one should have shown you is that people buy houses next to anything.
You're right. That's why I kept it quick.
Good evening. Travis Hastings. I'm actually a farmer in the community also. I have land adjacent to Mr. Jones, and I'm just going to be real brief. I'm not as opposed to this specific case as I am concerned within the community and in the county. I don't know if conditional use for solar panels on agricultural land is something that the county wants to promote. I think it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, agricultural land is for open space and agricultural purpose, and I don't feel solar panels are an agricultural
activity.
So that's just all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Those of you that don't know, Mr. Travis Hastings' father used to serve on this commission.
Oh.
That's how old I am. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
I'm going to say that, Mr. Chair.
I'm the old man that lives across the street. I'm Daniel Cates. I've lived there since 1979. Uh-huh. I live on the curve. Mm-hmm. I sit on my porch every afternoon. I watch the cars. I watch Woodland Prairie Road.
with this. I think they're very ugly. It's not because Glenn wants to put them up, but everywhere I ride in the county, they're ugly. And if you're going to put a buffer zone, these little trees, I'll be dead by the time they're big enough to cover these things. So if you got to pass this, please put me a big wooden fence up so I don't have to see it. I mean, this is the community's, a nice, nice neighborhood, and you know where we're at. I mean,
that's exactly where you are.
Okay. Thank you.
Indeed. Anyone else like to speak? Going once, twice. Alrighty. Operator, is there anybody standing by that would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to conditional use number 2336, Community Power Group, LLC?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Alrighty. Nobody on the line. Commissioner, any further questions or comments?
Just want to know what you use as your buffer when you do a vegetated buffer.
Need you to come back up here.
Since we had a young man tell us that he's worried that trees wouldn't be growing up fast enough to block his view.
me and Danny spoke the other day. I told him not to be so pessimistic about his longevity, but he's a great man. I appreciated his concerns for sure. And so we have a mix of evergreens and deciduous trees. It's kind of nice that on the side that it's at, we can go a little bit higher with the trees. This way it wouldn't just be a monotonous kind of, couple of trees. So the double row is that.
Would you agree to putting in like a topsoil berm to put the trees on?
We don't want to do that because we don't want to disrupt the soil of the farm right there. Because in order to get a berm that's meaningful, you really want to be 5 feet kind of up, and then we're disrupting a lot of the topsoil there. So it would be our preference not to do that.
Okay.
So to keep what land is there farmable.
You called your fence a wildlife fence. Is that chicken wire?
A game fence, yeah. Yep. Okay. Chicken wire. Yep.
I learned that today too. Game fence. I remember that.
Yep.
Sounds better than chicken wire.
Yeah, it's way better. Ray classy. Chicken wire and four before. Any further questions?
Nope.
All right, then, to be none, we'll close the public hearing. The vice remains with us the rest of the evening. See if we make a decision or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.